I have inserted this paper very much as it was to be read at the University of Florida, because it has some pertinence and relevance to bibliographies and library activities. All of the 17 volumes contained bibliographies relevant to the subject of the particular volume. We tried to find authorities, librarians, bibliographers, and others who had a special knowledge of the writings and references in the field of each Caribbean Conference topic. Generally, these bibliographical papers were read at a breakfast meeting at each conference, and of course all of the bibliographies read and presented were published in the conference volumes. This makes the series of conferences, I believe, extremely important to the student who wishes to learn about what has been written on particular subjects which we discussed at the various at our various meetings. This paper was read in February 1975 at Gainesville. One result of our association in the Caribbean conferences with the Alcoa Steamship Company brought about an incident which is of interest to librarians and perhaps bibliographers, and certainly to teachers in the English-speaking Caribbean. From June 30th to August 5th, 1956, Carna and I were sent by the Alcoa Steamship Company to investigate technical and vocational education in the Caribbean. This included the Dominican Republic, British Guiana, Suriname, Trinidad, Jamaica. Everywhere we visited schools, dozens and dozens of them, and to our chagrin and astonishment perhaps, we found that the libraries in these schools hardly were worthy of the name. In most of the schools, we found a small room about the size of a large closet set aside as a library. On the shelves were only a few books and out-of-date magazines. We wondered how the students were able to find any reading matter that related to the subjects they were being taught. As we saw more and more of these sparsely equipped libraries, we thought that it might be a good idea if in some way the Alcoa Steamship Company could provide these schools with books. Accordingly, we in the report we wrote for the company for internal circulation, we suggested that perhaps the company might collect volumes or even purchase volumes which might be used as texts. These could be even out of date and perhaps even remainder books. But in any case, there might be current magazines which would be well received in these libraries. Following our suggestion, the vice president of the company, Mr. Bell, set about to collect books. He notified his friends and members of Alcoa Steamship Company and others of what he was trying to do, and in a little more than 6 months, he collected some 75,000 volumes, which were distributed to these libraries by way of the Alcoa Steamship Company. It cost the schools absolutely nothing, but the steamship company was against using this as a public relations gesture and did not even put, as we suggested, an Alcoa book plate in each volume. We, of course, have no way of knowing what the ultimate results of this activity were, but we believe that the schools, and the teachers especially, were able to do a much better job in the classroom than they had before. As I was retiring from the University of Florida in 1967, I became interested in what seemed to me to be a very important project, a reference work which would be called Latin American Historical Dictionaries. Ralph Shaw, who was well known among librarians and others, had suggested some years before that this series be undertaken by his publishing house. Eventually, the publishing company came to be known as Scarecrow Press, and it finally moved from Washington to Metuchen, New Jersey. In 1967, the first volume on Guatemala was prepared by Richard E. Moore. In 1973, Mr. Moore revised his manuscript, his book of 1967, and brought it up to date. It is now the first volume in the series of historical dictionaries. The second volume is on Panama and is done by Basil C. and Ann K. Hedrick. It was published in 1970. The third is on Venezuela by Donna K. and G. A. Rudolph. 1971 is the date it was published. In 1972, the Historical Dictionary on Bolivia was published. The author was Dwight B. Heath. In the same year, the volume on El Salvador by Philip F. Flemion appeared. The same year, Nicaragua by Harvey K. Meyer was published, and also the volume on Chile by Salvatore Pizarro. The next year, 1973, the volume on Paraguay was published by Charles J. Kolinsky. In 73 also, the volume on Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands by Kenneth R. Farr appeared. Also in that year, the volume on Ecuador by Albert W. Bork and George Mayer was published. In 1974, Uruguay by Gene L. Willis appeared. And in 1975, The British Caribbean by William Lux was published by Scarecrow Press. At the present time, a volume on Honduras will shortly appear, as also a volume on Haiti. There is considerable significance to this series of volumes, I believe. It constitutes a very excellent reference work which should be in all libraries, and each volume contains bibliographies of materials, source materials and secondary, which may be used by students and others who wish to obtain further information about the subjects and items contained in each historical dictionary. I'm naturally pleased that I have been appointed general editor of this series, and I am looking forward to perhaps 23 volumes when the series is complete, sometime probably in 1977. A project that has interested me considerably over the years, especially in the last 15 or so, concerns the reprint of books that have been long out of date and are now needed again for reference or research. Among this type of books are travel accounts, which have long been out of print and which have been considered as classics and should reappear. The University of Florida became interested in this project largely because of a grant from Mr. Joshua B. Powers of New York City. The result was that I selected a series of books which were to have the general title of Latin American Gateway Series. In 1954, the first volume was published, and in 1955, three more volumes were published. These all dealt with Central America. The reprint travel volumes, really classic in nature, appeared through the press of Prager in New York City. These I selected and wrote an editorial introduction in each case. There were eight volumes in all, but Prager finally lost interest and the series came to an end. A second series, University of Florida Gateway series was published in 1964 and 1965. These two reprint series indicates my interest in encouraging publishing companies to reprint books. For a number of years, the number of reprint houses publishing books long out of date has been increasing in the United States. And in the middle 1960s, I became interested in contacting a number of these companies to inquire whether they would be interested in publishing various volumes, which I suggested to them, either in series or individually, on a variety of topics covering Latin American affairs. The most interested and willing company to cooperate in this project was the Cooper Square Publishers in New York City. I suggested to them a long list of volumes, and in the course of 6 or 7 years, they reprinted some 30 volumes, all dealing with Latin America, many of them with bibliographies of still of extreme value. Other companies I contacted and made suggestions to. I found, however, that while they were willing to have suggestions and ideas presented to them about the publication of out-of-print books, they usually had some excuse. Either there wasn't enough money, or the public might not be interested in some of these volumes, and they felt that perhaps the time was not quite ripe to reprint them. After about 1970, several of these reprint houses began to either go out of business or curtail their publications, they decided that they had already spent enough money and would join a conglomerate or perhaps even quietly disappear. I'm often asked how I got interested in reviewing books, either extensive reviews or brief reviews or book notes. This interest goes back to 1925 when I joined the faculty of the University of South Carolina at Columbia. I had just finished my PhD degree, and I was eager to try my hand at more writing than I had been able to do before. However, at Columbia in South Carolina, the libraries were not too extensive, and it occurred to me that if I wanted to move from there to another institution, I would have to lift myself up by my bootstraps, so to speak, and perhaps attract attention so that I might be able to move on to something better. As I thought about this problem, it occurred to me that perhaps I could, if I wanted to publish, I might do it by writing book reviews. Consequently, I looked about to see what kind of magazines might be interested in my reviews, all of which, of course, would be about Latin America or our relations with Latin America. And I hit upon the Historical Outlook, published in Philadelphia. This was a magazine largely for history teachers, and it seemed to me that by sending them reviews of Latin American books, it might supply a need which some of their readers felt but were unable to satisfy. The result was that from 1927 to 1933, I reviewed dozens and dozens of books for this periodical. One problem, of course, was to get books for review. The Historical Outlook did not receive books on Latin America for review, so I wrote to publishers who had issued books recently on Latin America, suggesting that if they would send me a copy, I would review it in the Historical Outlook. Fortunately, this pleased the publishers, for some of them seemed to be just on the verge of looking for reviewers for some of their more specialized books, as Latin America was considered in those days a specialized field. In writing to some publishers, I indicated that I had contacts with other periodicals which would be glad to publish reviews which I wrote about some of their books. Soon several publishers were sending me copies, not in very large numbers because there were not too many printed in those days. I was, of course, acquiring a library of books that I wanted, and I was becoming acquainted with books that I ought to know about. This reviewing activity led to me being invited to contribute to two or three encyclopedias, special articles, or to their annual yearbook. All of these articles, of course, being having some relation or dealing with Latin American countries or topics. One experience I had, I remember with a great deal of pleasure. In 1937, a volume entitled A History of Historical Writing by Harry Elmer Barnes was published, and a copy was sent to me to review. Since this book was largely an historiography, I, of course, was interested in what he had to say about Latin America and books published about Latin America. In my review, I emphasized this section of his book and criticized it very severely, suggesting a number of items that had been omitted and saying that it might have been better if he had consulted other sources before he prepared the section on Latin America. When the publishers read this my review, they were considerably upset, and they wrote and said that as soon as the this edition went out of print, that they would publish a revised edition and put in my answer my criticisms and put in some of my suggestions. The result was that in 1962 the book was reprinted and revised, and I was pleased to see that my suggestions had been incorporated and that my help had been acknowledged. Over the years, I have written literally thousands of book notes and book reviews. Perhaps at the present time, March 1976, the total number is 10 or 11,000. The majority of these, of course, are book notes rather than extended book reviews. In some cases, when I reviewed books extensively for scholarly periodicals, I found that it often took me several weeks to prepare a review because there were so many things to check. As a matter of fact, sometimes reviewers need to know as much or more than the author about the subject before the book can adequately be reviewed. Two projects concerning libraries and bibliographies I was most happy to be connected with. The first of these was the holding of conferences of the Inter-American Bibliographical and Library Association. These were held in 1939, 1940, and then after the war in 1946. The proceedings of the first conference volume contained almost 300 pages, and the proceedings of the volumes 2 and 3 over 300 pages. The papers and addresses of the fourth conference was considerably shorter and appeared in about 40 pages. In these four volumes, papers were presented by authorities on libraries and bibliographies from all parts of the hemisphere, including Canada. A reading of the table of contents in each volume will indicate the very wide scope of the interest of the contributors. Several of the contributors made contributions of inestimable value. As a matter of fact, we were fortunate in obtaining the leading authorities in these subjects, and their papers, when printed, made each volume a real contribution to historiography, bibliography, and library science. I served as general editor for each of these volumes, which were published under the auspices of the Inter-American Bibliographical and Library Association by the H.W. Wilson Company of New York City. A second project, which I especially was proud of, concerned the publication of the Inter-American Bibliographical Review. This was a quarterly and was published under the auspices of the Inter-American Bibliographical and Library Association.
This publication was started at an inauspicious time. The first number was appeared in the spring of 1940, and the final number appeared in the winter of 1943 and 44. Even though these were war years, the persons who contributed to this review were not yet concerned with the war and its effect upon libraries and librarians and scholars in general. As in the case of the conference proceedings, we were able to invite some very distinguished contributors, and they presented papers which we published of wide interest, both geographically and in as it concerned libraries and bibliographers. Our association has considered several times since the renewed publication of a quarterly or semi-annual bibliographical review, but as yet we have found no one to provide funds for it, and in fact we have found no one who seems to be interested in publishing such a periodical. However, at present I think the time is ripe for this kind of a publication. And it might even be important for Salam to consider a regular publication, which would be issued perhaps twice a year, and would contain supplementary papers which have appeared in the Salam annual meetings. Correction. I said that the first issue of the Inter-American Bibliographical Review was spring 1940, but it was spring 1941. As is evident from what I have reported in these conversations, I have been interested in library activities, and especially in bibliographical activities, for a good number of years. Perhaps it might be pertinent here to list a few of the organizations I have been connected with, which would indicate some of the activities that I have been engaged in. I select from three or four dozen a few which I would like to mention. One, for example, is I served as a member of the Bibliographical Consultant Committee of the Pan American Union in 1929 and following. In the early 30s, I became a member of the Sociedad de Amigos de la Biblioteca de Lima. Because of my interest in Latin America in general and bibliography in particular, I was elected a corresponding member, I believe it was in 1937, of the Centro de Investigaciones Sociales y Económicas de Panamá. The same year also, I was elected corresponding member of the Sociedad Dominicana de Estudios y Investigaciones Históricas of Ciudad Trujillo. About the same time, perhaps it was in 1932, I was elected a corresponding member of the Academia Nacional de la Historia de Venezuela at Caracas. And shortly after, I was elected a corresponding member of the Academia Colombiana de Historia at Bogota. About the same year, I believe it was 1937, I was elected a corresponding member of the Academia de la Historia de Cuba at Havana. In 1940, I was a member of the Committee on Library Cooperation with Latin America with the American Library Association at Chicago. In 1941, I became a member of the Instituto de Estudios Económicos y Sociales in Mexico City. In 1941, I believe it was, I was an organizing member of the Committee on Latin American Research of the Social Science Research Council in New York City. In 1941, I became a member of the Latin American Advisory Committee of the American Council on Public Affairs in New York City. In 1943, I was elected member of the Cuban American Council of University Studies of the University of Havana. In the spring of 1946, I helped to organize the Inter-American Library Conference at Washington, D.C., which was held on March 30th, 1946, and I presided at the luncheon meeting. One of the most interesting meetings I attended was the Medina Centennial Celebration held at the Library of Congress, jointly with the Pan-American Union, November 6th, 7th, and 8th, 1952. I presided at the first session of the symposium. This, of course, honored the great Chilean historian and bibliographer José Toribio Medina. As mentioned previously, I attended the first seminar on Latin American library materials at Chansiguit Hill, which was organized in part by the University of Florida when I was director of the School of Inter-American Studies. I presided at the first session of those meetings. In 1956, I was invited by the University of Southern Illinois at Carbondale to serve as a consultant and advisor to help establish an Inter-American Institute and to determine whether their library had enough research materials for graduate work, especially at the master's level. In 1958, I began to serve as a member of the International Advisory Committee for the Hispanic American Report, published at Stanford University and edited by Ronald Hilton. As is well known, this was an excellent reference for current information about Latin American countries, and it contained information that was indispensable to not only scholars, but to librarians and bibliographers as well. One of the most important of my activities of a Latin American nature I consider to be the founding of the Journal of Inter-American Studies at the University of Florida in 1959. I was able to obtain for the first year a grant of $60,000 from the Pan American Foundation, which was renewed the following year. This was an excellent source of information for scholars and teachers and others, and it was an indispensable tool for libraries interested in inter-American affairs of all kinds, and especially Latin American history. In the same year also, 1959, I was a member of an organizing committee which established the Association for Latin American Studies at a special meeting in Syracuse in New York. I served on the executive committee and tried to get started, and finally did, the publication of this organization called ALAS, A-L-A-S, which was an abbreviation for the Association for Latin American Studies. In August 1961, I was invited to serve as consultant to the Latin American Institute of Louisiana State University at Baton Rouge. This university was attempting to set up PhD work in Latin American area studies, and they needed to know something about courses and library materials essential for such work. In the early 1960s, I was appointed a member of the consultant board for the Inter-American Defense College in New York, in Washington. In this capacity, I was able to suggest a number of publications which the library they were just building could purchase. At the present time, this library has grown to large proportions and constitutes a very important research library on inter-American relations in Washington. In 1961, I became a member of the International Advisory Council Committee on Financial Support for Books for the People Fund. In the early 1960s also, I was invited by President Bauer of the Inter-American University, centered in San Germán, Puerto Rico. This was to give suggestions about courses of various kinds relating to Latin America, and also materials which their library, then being assembled, should purchase and have on their shelves. My relations with this university continued in 1972, 73, 74, when I was invited to serve as consultant and visiting professor at the headquarters of the Inter-American University at Atoray in Puerto Rico. In 1963, I became an organizer of the Escuela Interamericana de Educación Diplomática at San Jose, Costa Rica. One of my duties was to suggest books for a new library which they were just developing. We were able to obtain a considerable number of books gratis from various sources in the United States, and the library grew rather rapidly with assistance from the former president, Jose Figueres. Another connection I had with Puerto Rico was to serve as consultant for the Latin American program at the Catholic University of Puerto Rico at Ponce. I served in this capacity and suggested, among other things, not only courses that were to be given, but materials which might be added to their library as essential for the development of Latin American studies. My long connection with the seminar on the acquisition of Latin American library materials, which is known as SALAM, led to my being elected president in 1969 at its meeting in Puerto Rico. Over the years, I have presided at a number of meetings and served on a number of committees. I consider this organization as the most important in the Inter-American field today, engaged in library and bibliographical activities. It has grown steadily over the years until now it is recognized throughout the hemisphere and abroad. Both my wife and I are delighted that we have had this association with SALAM. Over the years, I have had the privilege of attending, I suppose, 100 or more national and international meetings that were of significance to librarians, historians, and bibliographers. Among these, I mention a very few. One was in May and June 1947. It was the Assembly of Librarians of the Americas, was held in Washington. Another meeting where I presided at a panel entitled Pan-American Area Programs in the Universities of the United States was organized by UNESCO, the 7th National Conference of the United States National Commission for UNESCO. This was held at Denver, September 29th to October 2nd, 1959. It had great interest for librarians and, of course, to some extent for bibliographers. Another meeting held June 17th and 18th, 1960, at Washington was a conference on postdoctoral foreign language programs organized by the U.S. Office of Education. I was a member of this conference and I felt that it would have considerable impact on librarians. Another interesting roundtable I attended was at the University of Texas in Austin. It was a roundtable of representatives of university presses in the United States. Here, a wide variety of problems that faced presses were considered, and the whole question of the publication of books, types, costs, and so on, were considered in great detail. This, too, was of considerable interest to librarians, and I believe that libraries were provided with copies of the results of the meeting. I attended a meeting at the University of California in Los Angeles. It was entitled Conference on the Status of Latin American Studies in the United States, held February 9th and 10th, 1961. This, too, discussed a variety of problems relating to Latin America, including the problem of publications, library contents, and types of courses to be offered. A unique conference, perhaps, was held at Ditchley Park, Oxfordshire, in England, March 14th to 18th, 1963. The British government was interested in the United States Alliance for Progress and wanted to consider what policies government should have toward Latin America that might be parallel to our alliance. Six of us were invited from the United States to meet with experts in England, including several cabinet members, and for several days we sat around a table and drank cocktails and had discussions of problems relating to this general topic. It also was of great interest to librarians and to all persons in Europe, in Latin America, as to what Americans and British scholars were thinking about Latin America and what their scholarly relations ought to be with Latin America. The report of this was rather extensive and was mimeographed. It was